This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. It's time now for our Africa update. This week, Zimbabwe's leaders agree to hold talks to resolve the country's political crisis, plus the U.S. Senate votes to lift a ban on visitors with HIV, and a look at how Africa's oil affects the cost of gas in America. For more, we've got Charlie Cobb. He's a senior analyst for the website allafrica.com. Hi, Charlie.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. So let's start out with Zimbabwe. President Robert Mugabe and opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai have signed a memorandum of understanding. It means they've finally agreed to discuss ways to end the country's political and economic crisis. So South African President Thabo Mbeki helped broker the agreement. Here is what Robert Mugabe said about the pact.
We sit here in order for us to chart a new way of political interaction, that we assist each other to overcome the political and economic situation which requires support.
Now, Morgan Tsvangirai also spoke after signing the deal.
We want to make sure that every Zimbabwean feels safe. We want to share a common prosperity for everyone, and we want a better Zimbabwe. Always must bear in mind the mother and the child who goes to sleep without food, the people that have been brutalized. I hope that that will be the world of the past.
Charlie, what does this really mean? Is this a sign of change for the people on the ground?
Well, it's a first step. I think one of the South African newspapers called it a dawn of a possible new era. If you read the memorandum of understanding, it's not very specific, although it sets a remarkably short time frame to do a whole lot of things, end political violence, or at least begin to end political violence. Begin the design of a new constitution, start promoting what they call national healing and cohesion and unity. All of these are supposed to be discussed and substantially resolved in about two weeks. What's really interesting about this memorandum of understanding or this deal that's been reached is an almost U-turn by Robert Mugabe, who had said none of this was necessary.
Now, many world leaders have said that they don't recognize Mugabe or his government as legitimate. Do you expect that to change? And how will the international community, you think, interact with any kind of coalition of these two opponents?
Well, they'll wait. The international community will wait until for at least the 2 weeks to see what emerges out of these conversations, which I should say are going to be essentially brokered by Africans, both Africans in the Southern African Development Community, Thabo Mbeki as president of South Africa, Haile Menkirios, who really is the Africa guy at the United Nations. They'll wait and see what emerges. This does not mean that Robert Mugabe's government will be recognized as legitimate, but a government in which Tsvangirai has agreed to become a part of would be recognized as legitimate by the international community.
Now, this deal came on the same day that a new banknote went into circulation. It is a $100 billion banknote, and it's about enough for two trips on a bus or two loaves of bread. What does that say about how much work these two men have to do to try to pull this country together?
Well, with an inflation rate, I think it's officially, as of this week, 2.2% per month. The numbers themselves demonstrate the enormity. And that's going to be one of the big issues. Who gets the power to begin tackling these issues? How much blame is going to be put on the West? Mugabe is putting a lot, for instance, on the West. He's even talking now about nationalizing corporations that go along with proposed Western sanctions. They're starting, as the Eritreans used to say, from below zero.
Well, let's move on. The U.S. Senate voted to repeal a travel ban on HIV-positive visitors or immigrants to the U.S. Now, that ban was imposed more than 20 years ago. It required foreigners with HIV to apply for special waivers to enter the U.S. And people who have all sorts of other infectious diseases have an easier time than those with HIV, even though now there's, you know, so many treatments, long-term treatments. So why was the ban adopted, and what's the significance of it now being ended?
The ban, which was first adopted or imposed by the Immigration Department, and then I think in the early 1990s, legislated by the U.S. Congress, grows out of fear and hysteria over HIV/AIDS. I mean, that's what drove that in 1987. There's no rational reason to have this ban. And in fact, HIV/AIDS is the only disease explicitly named in any of the government regulations concerning immigration. And that's hysteria. That's all that was. There's one issue that still remains. There's still argument in the Congress over this, particularly among Republicans who now say easing these restrictions would cost too much money. And, you know, I'm not sure how that calculation is made. The Senate bill actually proposes a rise in visa fees, I think $1 for the first 3 years and then $2 over the next 5 years. The House bill has no such provision, so that argument still remains.
Charlie, we only have a minute or so to talk about this, but want to mention that, you know, oil, big issue. Most people think we get the bulk of our oil from the Middle East, but we get millions of barrels of oil from Africa every day. We're going to hear in just a minute about Nigeria's oil industry. And what's the significance for Africa? Has the oil produced gains for African nations?
Well, no, it has not. Nigeria, which is, of course, comes immediately to mind, which is the biggest oil supplier to the United States from Africa. For all the billions Nigeria makes from oil, the per capita income in Africa is $1 a day. And in chunk sections of the country, it's even less than that. It hasn't meant anything in the sense of the alleviation of poverty in Africa. And there, Africa may be the next great source of oil for the entire world. Right now, I think it produces about 9 or 10% of the world's petroleum, but that number is growing every year. And already we're watching a competition between the United States and China in terms of African oil. Insofar as the price at the gas pump is concerned, that depends a lot more than the simple supply of oil from Africa.
Well, we'll pick up on this next time. Charlie, thank you.
Thank you.
Charlie Cobb is a senior analyst for the website allafrica.com. His latest book is On the Road to Freedom, a guided tour of the civil rights trail, and he joined us from member station WJCT in Jacksonville, Florida.